Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is one of the most important musicians in world music today, tabla virtuoso Zakir Hussain. The South Asian Performing Arts Foundation will present Zakir with Indian flutist Rakesh Chaurasia in an evening of contemporary Indian classical music, which will include traditional ragas combined with influences from Western jazz, Western art music, and global music from many traditions. Zakir Hussain was a young prodigy. His father was also a virtuoso tabla musician who performed with Ravi Shankar. From a young age, he was an accompanist to the leading figures in Indian classical music. But after touring the U.S. and Europe, he became an international star as a member of the cross-cultural fusion group Shakti, featuring jazz guitarist John McLaughlin and Indian violinist El Shankar. Here's a sampling of that influential early crossover world music group. That was my guest today, Zakir Hussain, from the crossover group Shakti in the 1970s. Over the years, he has collaborated with musicians ranging from Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead to classical musician Yo-Yo Ma, rock musicians like George Harrison and Van Morrison, jazz musicians like Dave Holland and Chris Potter, to Americana musicians Bella Fleck and Edgar Meyer, along with percussionists from virtually every world culture, including Latin America and East Asian gamelan. He's composed music for film, for television, as well as Asian and Western classical dance. An evening with Zakir Hussain and Rakesh Chaurasia takes place this Friday evening at 7:30 at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa PAC. And he joins me today on Studio Tulsa. Zakir Hussain, welcome to Studio Tulsa. It's a great pleasure to speak with you.
It's so nice of you to allow me to be part of the show. And I'm very happy that we get to speak about this coming concert I'm doing in Tulsa.
Before we talk about the concert, I just want to ask you a little bit about, there's something amazingly appealing about hearing a tabla. I think maybe because it's a hand drum and it's sort of a universal tendency to want to use our hands. What do you think makes the tabla make such a connection with listeners?
Well, it's a unique percussion instrument. I don't know if there's another percussion instrument that's quite like it. It's not only a rhythm device, but it's also a melodic or harmonic device as well. It allows you to tune the instrument to the tonic or the root note of the song or the piece that you're playing with. So you are not only melodic, rhythmically, but harmonically connected. That's one. And secondly, the low drum has pitches, all seven notes available on the bass drum. So you can then support the instrumentalist or a vocalist in a way as if a bass player would do that,
right,
playing some of the important notes of the scale or the mode, and thus providing both elements of drum and a bass combo that is unique to a hand percussion instrument. And add to that the technique that has been developed over the past some hundreds of years, which allows us to use the fingers in a way where it's not at all one of those frenzied whacking of the drum, but a more muscular tradition where you can be as subtle and quiet as needed and as loud and strong as you want to be. So the range, the dynamic range, gives it that that special ability that is somewhat limited in some other percussion instruments. And I must say that along with that, because it's connected in that very special way with the instrumentalist or the vocalist, it gives it an appealing sound that kind of makes it not just a rhythm device of a song, but also part of the whole package of what the song projects.
You know, that was immediately what I was going to ask about, was because, you know, when you hear a tabla player playing in a large ensemble, you don't really sense the harmonic element that's a part of it. But when you're doing like a duo concert, like you'll be doing here in Tulsa, that's the first thing to Western ears. You know, you're providing not only the percussion, but also a lot of the harmonic language for a duo performance.
Yeah, and it helps a lot with the flute, especially because there's no sympathetic strings at all in that instrument. So there are no tonal microtones or frequencies that are in play, like in a sitar, mm-hmm. where if you play a note on the sitar on the fret, there are 13 or 11 or so sympathetic strings, and they vibrate, and so they throw out a kind of a supportive tone, so that if the sitar player even stops for a millisecond after playing a note, there's still some sort of shimmer of sound in the air that kind of keeps the continuity going. Well, for the flute, once he stops it, everything stops because there's nothing else going on. So if when the tabla is playing, it's able to give it that kind of a suppose so a flute player can have some breathing room and at the same time be able to have the continuity of a drone-like atmosphere go on in the concert.
Does that, when you're playing with a sitar, does that make it all the more difficult for a tabla or just different?
It's just different. Uh-huh. But in these days, the way the instruments are being made, progress has been made in the quality of the tone of the instrument and the resonance of it, and so the sound stays for a longer time. And when it does that, it allows you to do different things to it, as and use the resonance to create a chain-like seamless bonding between one riff and the next riff, or one note and the next note. And so it allows for this special continuation in the melodic and the rhythmic progression of a performance.
Well, tell us a little bit about your performance that you'll be doing with Rakesh Chaurasia, the bansuri or a flute player that will be here in Tulsa. This is a musician you know well. You know his uncle even better.
Oh, yes.
He played many years with him. Mm-hmm. That's Pandit Prasad. And both of you do a lot of cross-cultural music in your course of your musical activities.
Yeah.
Is this going to be strictly Indian classical music or a bit of both?
Well, first of all, a little nod to young Rakesh Chaurasia, who is probably the master of the flute in the near future, and a worthy heir of Pandit Hari Prasad Chaurasia. I've played with Mr. Chaurasia for over 30 years, and Rakesh has grown up watching us play together, and there is a certain amount of familiarity in our interaction because he knows what his uncle and I did, and so he can bring that into play. And when that happens, I can remember and go back in time and think of how my interaction was with his uncle and bring some of that information on into the concert. So we are not at all floundering in a way like, okay, what are we going to do? But there's a certain amount of, a groundwork that's already in place that allows us to be able to have a very strong foundation in our conversation on the stage, our musical conversation on the stage. Having said that, now, Rakesh is one of those young breeds of Indian instrumentalists or musicians, rhythmists and all, who have grown up, unlike someone like me or Hari Prasad Chaurasia, learning Indian classical music and other genres of music or forms of music, whether Indian and non-Indian, simultaneously. And that has an interesting effect in one's ability to be able to project a musical expression. Someone like me first studied Indian classical music for 15, 16 years before I even got a chance to have a look-see into how jazz worked or how Latin percussions did their rhythmic elements or gamelan or Western classical music. So there was a new process put into place after so many years of Indian music to learn that. So by the time I was 35 or 40, I was a bit familiar with all these forms and how they could all work together. But the young musicians from India today do this simultaneously. So by the time they are 20, they're frighteningly familiar and great at being able to use all this information as if it's one entity, that they are not separate elements, that they all sort of work together. So it's their take on Indian music and its ability to be looked at with a melodic or musicality and sensibilities in that department from all other forms of music, and how that affects the rendition of, say, a melodic raga, and how the combinations and permutations of those notes are utilized is an amazing thing to watch, a fresh look. And so that's there. So that's where the contemporary element comes into play. And someone like Rakesh and I can give a rendition of a traditional raga, which I think we will do, at least for our main piece, before we go into, you know, a more folk elements of Indian regions, and see if we can put a somewhat of a contemporary take to it. And, you know, and when I, what I mean by that is harmonic or tonal injections into how those musical ideas will be presented. So it's somewhat like what Indian music was and is, and what it might possibly appear as in the future is what the concert is going to be about.
I love the way you put it, as we're going to have a musical conversation, because improvisation is important in Indian classical music, unlike Western classical music for the most part. And so when you're both improvisers are very familiar with modern music as well as Indian classical music, you can move from a traditional classical sound to something that's sort of an amalgam, I assume, right?
Yes, that can happen. And when a young Indian musician is doing this, he's able to look at, see, Indian classical music, when you're playing a raga, you're playing essentially one chord. So you're tuned to E major. So that's a chord you're playing, and that's the raga you're going to improvise and using those notes that are represented in a chord. While in Western classical music or jazz, there are a series of chords being played in a song. So there is a difference. So it's almost like as if a few ragas have been strung together in a song in, say, giant steps arrangement in jazz. while if it was an Indian musician, he would take just one of those chords and improvise on that. So that's the difference. But with the young Indian musicians, they are able to take this one chord and look at it in different voicings, because of their ability and their knowledge of all sorts of music that they have as they are growing up, to give it a whole different shade, which may not have been possible earlier on. So, yes, it can appear differently, almost like, say, when you have a Coltrane song like Love Supreme, and it is one essential vamp on which the whole song is built, but, again, it develops in a way where, you know, it opens up a whole world of harmonic possibilities. And so that kind of an approach to a raga is possible to accomplish by a young musician like Rakesh, which may not have been possible by, say, a Hari Prasad Chaurasia, his uncle, or even greats like Ali Akbar Khan or Ravi Shankar Ji, who were set in their ways.
Indian classical musician and tabla virtuoso Zakir Hussain speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be performing along with flutist Rakesh Chaurasia at the South Asian Performing Arts Foundation as they present the two musicians Friday evening at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Here's a bit of the two musicians performing together from one of their recordings. Thank you. guest today is Zakir Hussain, a tabla virtuoso, composer, and percussionist. The South Asian Performing Arts Foundation will present Zakir Hussain along with the flutist Rakesh Chaurasia Friday evening at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Amazing performer, performs with John McLaughlin, Shock D, Bella Fleck, Edgar Meyer, most recently with jazz bassist Dave Holland, and of course with a host of Indian classical musicians as well. I want to ask you about that idea that you were talking about, the difference between you and Rakesh. You said that, you know, Rakesh has grown up with having cross-cultural currents within his development as a musician. Sounds like you were learning on the job.
I was basically learning on the job. I mean, look, Mickey Hart, the Grateful Dead drummer,
yes,
was studying with my father, Alaraka. So he came to see him in L.A. when we were both in L.A., my father and I. And he asked, Mickey asked my father if he would come to his studio and play the first track to be recorded for his first solo album. And my father told him that, look, Mickey, I mean, you know, I'm teaching you and all that, that's fine, but I'm 45 years old, I'm set in my ways, it's difficult for me to, you know, step out of, you know, my cocoon of being a tabla player and look at rhythm in a whole different light easily, because I'm just I'm in the past and I'll be thinking of, oh, this is not allowed or that is not allowed or this is taboo or whatever. And so why don't you take my son, Zakir? He's here. He's playing and he can, he's young and he will have some openness in his mind to be able to do the things that you want done. So that's the kind of set idea that traditional musicians had. And so when I'm interacting with someone like Rakesh Chaurasia and Rakesh having grown up with ability to be able to, say, explore a raga and simultaneously look at it in a Western harmonic ability as to, okay, so my raga Malkaus is a pentatonic raga and has five notes up and down, but here are the harmonic abilities that these five notes are providing, and therefore I can explore those and suggest certain other musical connections and be able to present the raga Malkaus in a fresh light and give people a different take on it. So that happens, and when I play with him, he's allowing me to look at my rhythmic patterns and riffs and from his point of view, and so certain nooks and corners which I may have ignored or just overlooked or not even been aware are there, are revealed, and so a more of an expansion of existing ideas occurs in my mind and sparks new possibilities. And so this kind of an interaction is something that I look forward to. And the other thing is that these young musicians are so good, so incredible. They're scary how that's how good they are, but they don't get a chance to be able to be heard and seen. So that should be allowed. That should happen. It should not be, you know, it's in the 60s and the 70s, there was something that I call Ravi Shankar syndrome that took place. And that was everybody connected Indian classical music to Ravi Shankar. Mm-hmm. And to the point where my father was his partner on the stage. They were a duo, but nobody remembered him. Remembers him, but they remember Ravi Shankar. And he was the marquee name, and so the media covered that. And okay, Indian music, let's talk to Ravi Shankar. But everybody had no clue that there were equally great sitar players in India who were revered and loved and honored in India as great masters. And therefore, there was their expression or musicalities that the people in the West or everywhere else in the world were missing and not seeing. So they were seeing one aspect of Indian music and nothing else. And similarly, the same thing is happening with me. People talk about tabla and they say, oh, yeah, Zakir Hussain. But the fact is that I'm not the best tabla player around. I'm one of the good ones. There are at least 15 who are just as good as I am, if not better. And it's a sad thing that those other tabla players are not being looked at or not being seen or talked about or being put up on the marquee. So I just feel that these young musicians deserve a look-see. They have to be heard. So that's one of the reasons why I'm also playing with Rakesh or Niladri Kumar or Sabir or Dilshad or Kumaresh Ganesh or Jayanti and so many other instrumentalists like Purbayan and Amane and so on, so that they could be heard. And there is a double thing here, not only that they be heard, but I get to freshen up my repertoire by playing with these young kids and getting a little fire burned under my behind by them.
I assume you learn something when you go out and tour with Rakesh. You're going to learn something.
Absolutely, I'm going to learn a lot. I mean, it's like my father always said to me that don't try to be a master, just try to be a good student, and you'll get by just fine. And it's true. Every day is a learning experience, and you learn from. I have heard while traveling by road from one city to the next in India, a folk guy singing in a village outside a tea stall, and like stunned by that ability, and found musical ideas that I've used in compositions. And so you can learn from so many different people. An Aborigine in the inner lands of Australia playing his didgeridoo can give you an experience that you've never had before, or listening to somebody sitting with a guitar in a small little shed in Louisiana playing the blues and just singing, but doing it the way he does, it's just can change your whole understanding what blues is all about. I mean, you learn so much more. So it's great to get to play with these young people and keep learning and learning. I mean, all the great musicians that I know, whether it's Bela or Edgar Meyer or Charles Lloyd or George Harrison or John McLaughlin, they sought Indian music out because even though they were great and best of the best in their fields, they still felt that they needed to learn. They needed to find out more. So it's all about learning. And so that's what I look for. I look to see what it is that these kids offer that is going to just make my life and my learning process even better.
My guest today is Zakir Hussain, tabla virtuoso, composer, and percussionist, who will be performing with Indian classical flutist Rakesh Chaurasia in a concert sponsored by the South Asian Performing Arts Foundation this Friday night at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. We're going to hear more music by Zakir Hussain, this time in a crossover setting with musicians Bela Fleck and Edgar Meyer from their 2009 album, The Melody of Rhythm. Mentioned Bela Fleck and Edgar Meyer, who you recorded with. That was a revelation to me because I think of those musicians as being very versatile, being able to play classical music, being able to play country music, Americana music, if you will. And the connection between the tabla and Americana music was something to behold.
Well, I just, the first thing that came to, me when I sat down with Bela and Edgar was that these were three instruments which were like cousins. Tabla was a rhythm instrument, but also provided some melodic support. Bass is a melodic rhythmic instrument. Banjo is also a melodic rhythmic instrument. So the three came together, and so it was like, okay, who's going to actually hold the time? So that was a very, interesting thing for me that here are these instruments, they are coming together and we're going to play together. But again, it's not about the instrument or it's not about certain musical genres that are coming together on the stage. It's more about the people. As I said earlier, it's a conversation. And if I'm not familiar with you and your world and your family and your kids and your likes and dislikes and the dishes you can cook up and while you're in the kitchen and the movies that you love, whatever, I'm not able to strike a conversation, have a good long talk with you sitting around a dinner table. How am I going to be able to make music with you? You can't be a stranger to me. You have to be a friend at all levels. And then I can get on stage and we can continue our conversation that we were having in the tour bus or in the dressing room. And just instead of using words, we just use musical sounds and rhythmic riffs.
Well, we look forward to the musical conversation you have with Rakesh this Friday at the Performing Arts Center. Be performing for the South Asian Performing Arts Foundation as Zakir Hussain and Rakesh Jarazia perform in Tulsa. Zakir Hussain, it's been a great pleasure to speak with you.
It's been my pleasure, Mr. Fisher, to talk to you and a big hello to your listeners.
Indian classical musician, world musician, and tabla virtuoso Zakir Hussain speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. You can see him in an evening with Zakir Hussain and Rakesh Jarazia Friday evening at 7:30 at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, presented by the South Asian Performing Arts Foundation. Information at tulsapac.com. We're going to feature a little more music by Zakir Hussain from his 2009 release with Bela Fleck and Edgar Meyer from the album The Melody of Rhythm. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.